2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 2. Paul says this to the church over in Corinth. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In other words, church at Corinth, I love you like a father does. And I have a sense of responsibility even, just like a father would his own daughter. And then he goes on to say, but I fear, verse 3, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is what Paul says to the church in Corinth. He's a little bit concerned because of various teachers in the church. He is concerned that they're starting to steer away and be sidetracked away from the truth that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he says to the church in Corinth, he says, don't be steered away from the truth of the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Don't be deceived, just like Eve was deceived in the garden. Do you remember how Eve was deceived in the Garden of Eden there in Genesis chapter 3? Eve was walking in the garden that God had created, and he had created this garden for Adam and Eve and had made the trees to bear fruit that they could eat from any tree of the Garden of Eden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as Eve was passing by this tree, that's when the enemy tempted her. The serpent, Satan, came and said, didn't God say that you could eat of all the trees in the garden? Well, yeah, God did say I could eat of all the trees of the garden, but if I eat of this one, I'll surely die. Oh, you won't die, Satan said. God just knows that once you eat of it, you'll be like him. And then you'll know everything about good and evil. So then Eve began to question God's instruction, looked at the tree, saw that the tree looked good. Not only that, she realized that the tree would give her wisdom. So she ate of it. And that was when she got sidetracked. That was when she got pulled away from the simplicity that God had designed for them. The simple relationship, the dependence that we can have on Jesus Christ. And that is the enemy's tactic for us. That's his great tactic. His great tool is to make us think that we need to know everything, that we need to have everything figured out in order to pull us away from the simplicity that God wants us to have with him. That's what the enemy does. He tries to pull our focus off of the Lord. He's been doing it since Genesis chapter 3, and he does it today. I think way too often, we're a lot like my bulldog, Hank. I just got this English bulldog, and I've been wanting a dog for a long time, and we're finally at a place where we can have a dog. We're in our house. My kids aren't babies anymore, so, you know, they're toddlers, they're 3 and 5, and so a dog, I want my kids to grow up with a dog, but we're not ready for a dog that's going to be tons of work yet. I didn't want a dog that's going to run off all the time, or I'm going to have to worry about chewing everything up, or barking, or biting people. I don't want tons of work, so everything that I heard and read about a bulldog was perfect. We have a friend that's got a bulldog. And it is the fattest and the laziest bulldog that I've ever seen. And she's only 7 months old. And so I thought, this is perfect. And so we got Hank. Little did we know that we did not get what we bargained for. I think there's a huge difference between male bulldogs and female bulldogs, because Hank is exactly the opposite as this other bulldog. Bulldogs were supposed to be lazy, I thought, and they're supposed to, I mean, they're sociable, and they're not too big, and they're not barking dogs, they're not yippers, but they're big enough, because I like big dogs. I thought it would be perfect, but Hank, he has been some work. And I'm not expecting a circus-trained dog. I don't need a dog that has hundreds of tricks that he can do at every command. I just want my dog to know the 3 basic commands for a dog. Sit, stay, and come. That's it. If he can learn those 3 things, I'll be totally satisfied. And so I've been working on him, and he's learned those 3 commands. He knows how to sit. I'm working with Hank, and we're at the house, and it's my day off or something, and I'm spending some time with, of course, after I spent time with my kids, I'm spending time with my dog, Hank, and he's been doing great. knows exactly how to sit right when I say it, knows how to come when I say it, knows how to stay. He does those things great. But the problem is, if we're in any other environment, I am invisible. Especially after he discovered this collie down the street. Because there's this collie, that's all he could think about. Now I have a dog that runs off every time he goes outside. And he heads straight to this trail over to the collie's backyard. And just wants to play with this collie. And so time and time again, I've gone over there and I've gone to get my dog. Hank, come. And it doesn't matter how loud I yell, how much stuff I throw at him, I am totally non-existent. Every once in a while, if I yell loud enough and make a big enough commotion, he'll stop and give me this blank stare with hearts in his eyes. And then he'll go back to playing with this collie. But last week, we were over at my mom's house for a Memorial Day barbecue, and all my little nephews were there, so my kids were playing with the cousins. And that's another problem that we have with Hank. When kids are running around playing, he loves kids, but he doesn't love them because he's a friendly, compassionate dog. He loves to tackle them. And so whenever a kid's running, he thinks it's on. And he'll go and he will full speed chase that kid. He's done it to Crosby, my son. Chase that kid, put his paws up, tackle him, and then just stand on him with his chest high up in the air because it makes him feel good about himself. But that was a lesson that a couple of swift kicks learned that we got that worked out of him pretty quick. But he was getting a little rambunctious when all the cousins were playing, so I put him in the backyard at my mom's house, closed the gate. And it wasn't 5 minutes later, I'm standing in the kitchen, and I hear this car slamming on its brakes. My mom lives on a busy street. I thought, that can't be Hank. It better not be Hank. And so I go out to the front door just to take a look, just to check. He's supposed to be in the back, and Hank comes running up from the street and just sits right at my feet, and he's shaking. And all he wants to do is sit at my feet now. He's freaked out. And then, that car pulls off. Another car pulls over and says, is your dog okay? This lady comes out of the car that pulled over and said, is your dog okay? I said, oh, yeah, fine. I don't think he got hit. Oh, yes, he did. Really? He got hit hard enough to, right in the bottom, just to knock him down and spin him around a couple times. And that is exactly what the enemy wants to happen to us, though. He wants to pull us away from the simple relationship that we have from the Lord, getting instructions from Him. And He wants to pull us away from our Master because He knows when we're separated from getting instructions from our Master, that's when we're outside of His protection. And we're outside of His provision. And we're outside of His plan. That's the enemy's tactic. He wants us to think that we can have everything figured out to pull our focus off of the Lord. I think there's good reason why the Bible says and likens us to sheep. And it's not because sheep have this great knowledge. It's not because they have great problem-solving skills. Sheep don't. It's not because sheep have good foresight and can tell how a situation's going to work out and think ahead. Sheep don't do that either. This is why we're likened to sheep. Here's an example right here. I came across this little article, and the headline, the title is Turkish Villagers Curse Their Stupid Sheep. It says a village in eastern Turkey is cursing its luck after losing 400 sheep, which were killed after falling into a ravine. This newspaper reports, and then it goes on to say, shepherds from Kaisler were having their breakfast on Thursday, leaving the flock of 1,500 sheep all alone. One of the sheep tried to jump across a 15-meter deep ravine. The rest of the flock followed. With the first 400 being killed, the rest had a soft landing. One sheep goes over a cliff and all 1,500 sheep follow. That's the crazy thing about sheep, is they have no clue where they're going. But the worst part about it is, sheep don't know that other sheep don't know where they're going either. That's the problem. And that's what we're likened to. The Bible says that we are all like sheep, and we've all gone astray, each to our own way. But the great thing about this is this. Because we're like sheep, and we all go astray, we're not expected to know everything. We're not expected to have everything figured out. We don't have to have it all figured out. All we have to do is follow. Not follow other sheep. Not follow other people. The very center verse of the Bible, the exact middle verse in Psalm 118:8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. No, we follow the shepherd. We follow our master. We don't have to have it figured out. I think way too often, I get way too focused and too sidetracked in trying to work everything out in my own strength that I lose sight of my master, that I lose sight of Jesus. I get so focused on my plan and how I'm going to do this. And okay, here's my situation. I've got to do this and this and this. Otherwise, my life is not going to work out. I need to have this set up for my future. And I get so worried about my plan that I forget the person of Jesus Christ. I do that way too often. It's kind of like Mary in John chapter 20 when she went to the tomb and she saw that the tomb was empty. And so she went and told the disciples, the tomb's empty. I don't know what happened. And the disciples went and checked it out, and then they left, and she's weeping at the tomb. And as she's crying, wondering where the body of Jesus went, and so worried about what to do because he needs a proper burial, there's a lot going on around her that she had no idea about. There was two angels sitting in the tomb. And they said, hey, woman, why are you crying? Because somebody's taken the body of my Lord, and I don't know where they put it. And she didn't even realize that Jesus, the resurrected Lord, is standing right next to her. He says, Mary, why are you crying? What are you seeking? Somebody's taken the Lord and you took him. And she thought it was a gardener. You probably took the body. If you took it, tell me where it is and I'll go get it. And she's all focused and worried about how to get the body back into the tomb and what her plan is going to be to get it back. And she doesn't realize that Jesus is right there and he's got a much better plan. His plan was a lot better than hers. Sometimes we can just get so worked up in our plan, not to say that we shouldn't have a plan, because we should. The Bible says people without vision perish, and it's good to have a plan. It's good to be moving in some direction. I think it's better to be moving in even the wrong direction than not moving at all. I like the old adage that says God can't steer a parked car. Because even if you're moving in the wrong direction, he can turn you around if you're willing. But sometimes we get so focused on that plan and what we're going to do and try to work it out in our own efforts that we forget to acknowledge the person of Jesus Christ. And we forget to seek him and see if maybe plans have changed. We forget those wise words that he told us in the book of Matthew. Seek first the kingdom and then all these other things will be added. Not only can I get too caught up and forget the simplicity that I have in Christ because I'm trying to work out my own plan, but I'm also trying to figure everything out, trying to analyze everything, trying to get everything figured out in my mind so much that I forget just to seek the Lord and lay at his feet. And if it can't be figured out, if it's out of my control, that's okay because he's in control and I've committed it to him. I don't have to figure everything out. I think this was the great downfall of the Pharisees. The scribes had transcribed the book of the law so detailed that they knew every single page of the law. And not only that, they knew every word on every page, and they had counted every single letter that was to be on every single page of the law. And they had the law broken down to 613 direct commandments, 248 positive commandments, 365 negative commandments, and it was the Pharisees' job to figure out how to interpret and obey every single one of these commandments. And they had completely separated themselves from normal society just so they could interpret the book of the law, because in it they thought they could find life. But what did Jesus say when he was talking to the Pharisees? Jesus said, you study the scriptures because in them you think you have life, but these are they which testify of me. You're missing the whole point. You're not going to find life in the book of the law. The book of the law is just a point to me. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to look to me. That's what it is. It's all to point to me. It's all to focus on Jesus Christ. Don't let your focus be off of him. Don't let your minds be deceived from the simplicity that we have in Christ. It's so simple. God is so good. He's made it so easy for us. We don't want to be like the Pharisees and be so concerned about figuring everything out. Sometimes, Pastor John always called it the analysis that leads to paralysis. And it's true. It's tragic to see what happened to some of the people in the Christmas story. Some of the characters. Remember the story? The wise men came from the east seeking out Jesus. And when King Herod heard that there were wise men trying to find the new Messiah, he had to find him first. And so he called in the chief priests and the scribes, and he inquired of them. He said, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" And they said, "Oh, the scripture says right here in Bethlehem of Judea." And it's amazing to me because they knew enough of the word to know exactly where Jesus was going to be born, but they never got off their bottoms to go investigate. They never saw Jesus. Who saw Jesus? It wasn't the innkeeper. The innkeeper was way too busy trying to work everything out. It wasn't Herod. Herod was too prideful. He wanted Jesus killed. It was the shepherds that saw the angels. It was the wise men that saw the star. It was Simeon and Anna. They weren't held high in society's standards, but they got to hold God's treasured son. Why did they get to see Jesus when everybody else missed him? It's because they were honest enough to know that they needed him. They were honest enough to admit that they needed him, and they were humble enough to receive him. We need Jesus. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to have life figured out. He's not expecting us to have it all figured out. No way. He just wants us to come. It's as simple as that. He just wants us to follow. It's so good. There is this great theologian by the name of Karl Barth. And this guy revolutionized the study of the book of Romans several decades ago. And when he was asked in an interview that a lot of people know about now, he was asked, "Karl, what is the greatest theological thought that has ever crossed your mind?" And he said, well, everybody's waiting for his intelligent answer. And he said, "The greatest theological thought that crossed my mind is this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Simple enough for my 3-year-old son and 5-year-old daughter to understand. They know the deepest theological thoughts that has ever crossed the mind of humanity. And it's simple as that. Jesus said, if you want to receive the kingdom, you've got to receive it like a child. He's made it so easy. We don't have to be sidetracked from the simplicity that we have in Christ. It's so good. I think that's why John the Baptist was said of Jesus to be the greatest man that was born to a woman. It's not because he did great miracles. He didn't do any. It's not because he had great theology. He didn't. He simply pointed to Jesus. He said, man, I'm not worthy to unloose his sandal straps. That's it. That's all we have to do is just point to Jesus. And when we can keep the simplicity that we have in Jesus Christ and remember that we don't have to work it all out in our own strength, we don't have to figure it all out in our own minds, but we just simply need to rely and depend and have that relationship with the Lord, it does some great things in our life. This is why it is so important to keep the simplicity simple, to keep our relationship with the Lord simple. It's because it will radically, for me, it radically changes my devotional life with the Lord. It gives me so much more devotion, knowing that I don't have to have it all figured out. It's when my mind gets subtly distracted and deceived into thinking that I have to have prayers that are theologically sound for God to hear me. It's when I feel like God's not going to be happy because I haven't read enough scriptures or haven't understood enough scriptures, and so I don't know if my prayers are even going to work. Then it's hard to go to Jesus. Then I don't want to go to Jesus. Then I'm not that devoted for Jesus. But when I remember that I just have to go to him boldly and I don't have to have everything figured out and my prayers don't have to be theologically sound, they can be simple, then I want to pray. Then I want to cast my cares on him. Then I'm not ashamed to go to him. It's like I always think of this boy that grew up in a farm in a small town. And every Sunday morning, he would hear the church bell ring, And all the people in his town would dress up, and the girls, the women would be wearing their fancy hats, and the guys would be in their suits, and they'd go to the chapel, and they'd have service, and they'd come out smiling, going to the church picnics and all that. And his dad wouldn't let him go to church. His dad wouldn't have anything to do with church. And so he made his son work out on the farm every single Sunday morning. And the kid wanted so badly to be like them, to have the joy that they had and to walk with God, but he didn't know how. But finally, one Sunday morning when the chapel bell rang, he just got fed up and he said, I'm just going to try it. And he didn't want to displease his father because he knew what would happen. So he just got down on his hands and knees right in his field and began to pray. But the problem was he didn't know how to pray. So he did the only thing that he could think of. He started saying the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then at the same time, this old man comes walking by on his way to church, and he sees this kid on his face saying the alphabet. He says, boy, son, are you okay? Did you get hit in the head or something? Are you all right? And the boy stood up and shaked him, dusted himself off and said, yeah, I just see you guys going to church every Sunday, and I wanted so badly to meet with God, and so I thought I'd pray, but I didn't know how, so when I got on my hands and knees, and I just thought I would give God all the letters and he could put it together himself. And I'll bet you that was a prayer that delighted the Father that day. That's how he wants us to come to him. We don't have to have it all organized. We don't have to have it all right in our minds. All we have to do is give God our shattered, broken lives and let him put it together. And you know what? It makes it so much easier to boldly go to the throne of grace, to find grace to help in time of need. Because I don't have to have everything together. I'm not expected to have everything together. I'm just like a sheep. I always go astray. I don't have to have it worked out or figured out. Nope, I just need to follow. I just need to go to him. It changes my devotional life. But it also changes my dynamic with other people. Keeping the simplicity of Christ changes my dynamic with other people. This is how. If I'm talking to a person that's struggling with issues of sin and they don't know what to do about it, I could give them all the reasons why the Bible says why the Bible says not to sin. I could give them all the reasons about that sin. I can give them all the theological implications of what that sin will do in their life and how tragic that's going to be and how it's going to tear their family apart and how it's going to tear them apart. And how sin is just going to darken their understanding with the Lord and all these other things. I could give them the scriptures. I can give them great scriptures from the Word. Or I can just say, you know what? It happens to all of us. This is how the Lord helped me through it. Changes my dynamic when I just keep it simple, when I keep the focus on Jesus Christ. You take that guy in John chapter 9, that when Jesus healed that blind man and he put mud in his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool and the guy could see. And then when the Pharisees were drilling him saying, how were you blind and now you could see? He didn't say, well, this is how I was able to see. I went over to a certain part of the world, got a select sample of soil, put a special ingredient in it, made it the right texture, put it on my eyes, let it set for a certain amount of time. Then I walked over to the pool, a special pool, the pool of Siloam, right when the sun was hitting it at the direct time of day. And then I went and washed, and now I could see. He didn't give him all the details of how the Lord made him see. All he did was said, all I know is once I was blind and the Lord made me see. And that's all we need to know. We don't have to have everything figured out. And it changes your dynamic with other people. It really does. Instead of ministering to them with your head, you're ministering to them with your heart and what God has shown you, and you're pointing them to Jesus. We've got nothing to offer except for Jesus. But not only that, the last thing, why is the simplicity that we have in Christ so important? Not only because it helps our devotion, helps us go to him, which he wants us to do, give him our shattered lives, not only because it helps our dynamic with other people, but also, and most importantly of all, it keeps us dependent on the Lord. When we try to work everything out on our own, then we're relying on our own strength. When we try to figure everything out on our own, we're relying on our own understanding. And what's the Bible say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will make your path straight. It's that simple. Just rely and depend on the Lord. Don't be deceived and pulled away and sidetracked from the simplicity that we have in Christ Jesus. He's made it so good for us, so easy for us. And if it's hard, it's probably because we're overanalyzing it. God is good. That's all there is to it. Give him your shattered lives. Rely and depend on him. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added as well. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you have made it so simple for us. Lord, I thank you so much that you're so dedicated to us and you've given us godly instruction and all you want to see is our success. Lord, I pray that you would keep us from trying to work everything out by our own strength. Lord, I pray that you would just give us the ability to trust in you and delight in you and enjoy our relationship with you. I pray that we would have instruction for other people that come from the heart, not the head. Thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. We thank you so much that, Lord, you just want to take us and move us from glory to greater glory. We just, once again, right now, dedicate our lives to you, commit our lives to you, commit this day to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Looks like the sun's coming out, so enjoy your afternoon. You're dismissed.